Barking at the Moon, BBC London 94.9, Joe Good, Anna Webb, Molly and Matilda. Wow. And look who's just walked in, a member of the Barking at the Moon family. She is the wonderful animal communicator, P. Horsley. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof. Woof.
P. Horsley, who, since we last met, has got a new dog and has been to Australia.
Yes, that's so true.
Let's talk about your new dog, first of all. Because just to fill people in, Morgan, much loved Morgan, passed away last year. And I know, so I don't want to upset you. But you said, I remember you saying, a dog will come to me eventually and I'll just have to wait. Yes. And a dog has come to you. So tell us about your new dog.
Well, this dog, actually, interestingly, just after Morgan ascended, when his soul ascended, he sent me this telepathic image of a black dog. So I knew on that same day that a black dog was going to come to me and that this dog is going to be his successor. And loads and loads and loads of synchronicities everywhere about black dogs, black dog pub signs, black dog books jumping off the shelf at me, just everything. Constant for virtually a year about black dogs. And I didn't want to even look until after Christmas. My partner was keen, but I wasn't because I was still grieving. I'm still grieving. And then we got close to going away to Australia, and so I didn't want to get a dog that I was about to abandon for a month. But when we got back, literally within a week, this dog literally jumped off a website, the oldest website, and I looked at him and went, that's him. That is the one. And he's gorgeous.
Old dogs, sorry.
It's a website.
Exclusively older dogs.
All older dogs. So he was actually based at the Chilterns Dog Rescue, but he was listed on the oldest website, which is oldest.org.uk, if anyone's interested. And he's just he's bigger than I expected. And my cat, Texas, is shocked, actually. When he first saw him, he just looked in horror and went, he's so big! And he's also horrified by the tail because it constantly moves. And he just says, will you make it stop? But he's fabulous. So he's this Labrador collie greyhound cross.
Wow.
And he's very, very bright.
How old do you think?
Well, I think he's six. He was aged as eight, but I just went to see vet Richard Allport, who thinks 5 to 6. So he's more on the same page to me because this dog is so strong. And apart from the sort of grey muzzling, you would never think he was old at all. And you like some people, some of us grey early, prematurely. And I think that's what's happened to him, really.
Yes, particularly if it's had a trauma, you know, and ended up in rescue, because that will make them go grey as well.
Do you know anything about his past?
It's interesting because at the moment what I'm doing is I'm communicating with him just on present things, you know, to settle him in so that he knows he's safe, so he knows it's permanent. If he has an upset tummy at all, then I, you know, communicate with him about that, about what it is. Is it emotional? Is it physical? Has he eaten something putrid, which he has a few times? So I'm dealing at the moment with very present things just so he can settle. I've got a bit of a sense about his past, but I'm not communicating with him about it at the moment. I mean, what I do know from the home is that he was rescued by them from a pound. He was on death row in Wales, South Wales, just as Morgan was. And I didn't know that until I went to go and view him, actually. And so that was another final sign to go, yeah, this is the one. And before that, he was picked up as a stray off the street.
He's had a bit of a hard life.
It's so weird, P, because... Do you compare him to more? I suppose you've just got to say this is a whole new dog now, and you can't compare, can you really? But do you find yourself thinking, well, Morgan would never have done that,
my partner and I, we do say often, actually, well, Morgan would have done this, or isn't, like we say about Bodie, God, he's so good. Morgan would never have done that. Look how good he's being. You know, so we do. I want to keep Morgan in my present and not just never talk about him again. But they're very, very different dogs. You know, Morgan was a very grounded dog, quiet, didn't like to be touched, didn't like any faffing at all. Bodhi thinks he's a lap dog. He just wants to sit on your lap the whole time. He wants physical touch all the time. He's incredibly bright, and he's what I call an airy dog. I feel like I have to anchor him all the time.
Isn't it interesting to have another personality? I just remember, just with George's puppy, Mabel, who was the same breed as Matilda, the difference in the personality was extraordinary. She was a barker, you know, Matilda never barked.
She was very strong-willed, very forthright personality, whereas Matilda isn't.
We're going to go to the news in a moment, but we must, on the other side of the news, talk about Australia. Because you were almost booked out before you even got there, weren't you?
It was really brilliant, really, really successful.
Do you think that the Australians are... Because I grew up there, and the dog on the tucker box, Red Dog.
Yeah, Red Dog.
I saw that on the plane on the way home. I cried my eyes out.
Gosh. Isn't it just... Do you think they are... Because when I lived there, there was a dog catcher. There used to be a dog catcher who would go around and they would collect the dogs. This was in the 60s. Mm. And it was... But it was weird. You'd see stray dogs in Australia, you know, just going out for walks and things, which you'd never see over here. Mm. But there were dog catchers. Do you think they're a nation that love their dogs as much as we do or not? If you were booked out, they must do.
Well, people I met love their dogs as much as we do. Whether the whole population see animals as we do, I don't know. I found it quite interesting travelling to different areas. And also then when I went to go and teach in New Zealand, it's different again. And I think a lot of it is to do with the environment, their upbringing, and also just where they are, you know, in development about animal welfare. It's really interesting.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We shall be back in a moment. P. Horsley, animal communicator, talking to us, and we'll give all the details out, actually, if you want to find out more about her workshops and her work and her book after the news. And we're also going to be joined by Ivana Noel.
Noel, yes.
And also Barry... Karakostas.
From Urban Mutts.
I bet he's Greek. Mel will know.
He will.
Yes. It's from Urban Mutts. All that's still to come. It's 11:30. Time for the news now with Elaine. Hello and a good evening. It's Anna Webb, Joe Good, Molly and Matilda barking at the moon. BBC London 94.9, the only radio show in the world dedicated to dogs. We're here every single Thursday. You can catch up with our antics, though, if you go to our Facebook page, Bark at the Moon. We're on Twitter.
At Barking Blondes.
And you can also find us on The Independent on Sunday's blog page every single Sunday. Thanks for all your comments, by the way. Keep them coming, because if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's what we... One day they'll say enough, no more dog blog. But so far, we're always up in the top five.
Yeah, the top five. We get lots of comments.
Yeah, so
keep them coming.
Please keep them coming. Now, a friend of the show, and she was here, I think, on our very first show, actually.
Yes.
P. Horsley, animal communicator, who's been spreading the word of animal communication in the Antipodes in Australia and New Zealand, which I didn't know about. And we were just talking about Australia, could you live there? It's a hard country, isn't it?
It is hard, and you forget how huge it is and how long it takes to get anywhere as well. It's funny, I just really missed England when I was there. And also with New Zealand used to be my favourite country in the world, but it's changed a lot in the last 12 years since I went there.
It's become really groovy though, hasn't it?
Isn't it groovy?
Wellington is the new groovy. But the groovy capital of that. But aren't they trying to make it groovy? Because it was always, the Australians always said it's closed, basically, New Zealand. But the Kiwis and the Aussies is always this sort of...
rivalry.
Yeah. Mm. But how's it changed? It become more sophisticated and less appealing?
It's difficult to say how it's changed, really. I just didn't get the vibe like I did the time before. That's it, really.
Tell us about your workshops, though, in Australia. Did you meet some amazing dog owners?
I met some amazing people. I taught a weekend course in Melbourne to start with. I went to Melbourne because I was invited over by a very traditional vet who has an interest in it and quite open-minded. And that was wonderful. We had some great animal teachers. We had dogs, we had cats, and people really, really engaged with it. I mean, people are really hungry for animal communication.
Well, do you know you won over our vet?
Yes.
Pete came in and he said I was a complete skeptic till I met P.
I know, so just now.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, that's good. I'm going to send him a copy of my book.
Do. Yes. just because you're, for anyone that doesn't know, P's workshops are, Anna and I have been to a couple, and yes, they are amazing. Did you meet a brilliant dog? I know you will have met loads, but is there one that's...
Yeah, one that stood out.
Oh, God, I met loads of wonderful animals, actually. The animals on the Gold Coast workshop, I did a 3-day there. We did 2 days... introduction to animal communication with domestic animals, and then a day at the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary where the education staff really engaged with animal communication. It's the most enthusiastic reception I've ever had, actually. And so we had some amazing dogs at the Gold Coast who were very confident, had a lot to say, and knew exactly why they were there, which was fantastic. And at the wildlife sanctuary, we were communicating with a barking owl that literally goes woof woof.
An owl,
oh, yeah, an owl. Brilliant.
And it goes woof woof at you.
Did you meet any koala bears?
Yeah, we communicated with koala bears.
Did you see?
Were they angry? I'd love to do that,
because they are angry, aren't they? Bears.
No.
Oh. Well, all I remember is going on a school picnic and them just screaming at the top of a gum tree.
They can be grumpy, but, you know, the biggest thing that they wanted to communicate was about their loss of habitat. Yeah. And that, you know, they could get chlamydia because of this, because they get stressed, and that they are really worried about their future because basically they have roots and things are just being built over their roots all the time. And so that's what they communicated a lot of.
Wow. Mm. P, we could talk for ages, but we've got two more guests, so we must wind up. If anyone wants to find out more about your skills and your book, and your life, basically, where can they go?
Lots of places. They can go to my website, which is animalthoughts.com. They can find me on Facebook, which is Facebook.com/animalthoughts. They can also find me on Twitter, and they can also find my book, which is called Heart to Heart, at Amazon, and it's also available from the Book Depository, which ship for free anywhere in the world.
Wow. So how do they find that then?
Just go to Book Depository.
Oh, that's what it's
a website, yeah.
Oh,
it's
fantastic.
A website, and search for it there, Heart to Heart.
P. Horsley, thank you.
Thank you.
And love to, is it Bodie?
Bodie.
Oh, love to Bodie.
Like
from
the professionals.
Bodie and Doyle.
Oh, I used to love Bodie.
And you know, I got mugged. I was so upset because you gave me a crystal. Do you remember? It was a rose.
Rose quartz.
Yes, little hearts.
And that was in my bag.
It wasn't.
They stole. That losing that, because you gave me that on our very first show here, and I always had it in my bag.
Darling, I'll get you another one.
Well, I wasn't hinting, but I just had to.
Well, you were okay.
Yeah, I was actually.
Good.
Thankfully.
Woof, woof.